Hello, everybody. This is Terry Laundry with the Sunday, September 12th, 2010 T30 observations. I have quite a few charts today to go through, discussing a bunch of interesting topics, which I hope will prove to be informative and useful to you, as viewed from the T-theory. And by T-theory, we also include the 40-year cycle, which is in the second part is basically talking about conclusions from the 40-year cycle, as they would apply to the present situation, looking out a little bit further than we can see with the advanced decline T's. But for this first audio discussion phase, we're going to talk about the two charts, which is the advanced decline T chart, which I have shrunk down in size, and so it's not so big on your screen. And then we have the standard volume oscillator chart brought up to date as of Friday. You'll notice in the just to digress for a moment, the big chart of the advanced decline thesis is the data is plotted up to 2010-09-07. That means it's only up to the 7th of September. And what happens is I've been developing this with a programmer, and every day you get a day's data, and then we're now including the bonds, the gold to make gold channels, and all that other stuff in there, and you append another line of a lots of data from the spreadsheet, and then you import it to the program, and then it cranks out for whatever I write for the program. Well, it's at some point when I was setting up the charts on Saturday for Friday's close, it got a file end of file error, and it for some reason the spreadsheet doesn't want to fit into the program anymore. So I didn't have a chance to figure it out. I sent it back the problem back to the programmer. And I'll spend Monday and Tuesday trying to resolve that, but eventually it doesn't really make that much difference that this chart doesn't go up to the last 3 days of the week, because you can pick up all the data on the chart that follows. But I just mention out that there's a couple of ideas in this chart before we get into the short-term charts. Notice that I've added an idea here in the cash buildup phase. It says a big cash buildup phase going from the 98 top down to the early 03 bottom. And it says big cash buildup phase with the long declining tops pattern and the advanced decline line, which is supposed to be a big cash buildup phase. The 12T has a split bottom, okay? And at the down at the bottom of the chart, I say there's a big opportunity. So big cash buildups, that is long periods in duration, imply big opportunities once the cash buildup phase is broken. That is based on one of J.M. Hirst Jr.'s early cycle pioneer in the 70s, that there is a distinct similarity between the length, the duration of a cycle, and the amplitude of the cycle when it turns up. And now if you go over to the T13, you say you have a medium cash buildup phase because it's only about 17 months, so it's considerably smaller, and so you get a medium upside opportunity. So those things can be deduced, and then what I've added at right end of the T, taking the time symmetry as gospel, it's right. I put down high risk at the right end where we are now is high risk. I have high risk up at the right end of the 12th T. And then I have a high risk at the 11th T, and I have it for the 10th T. Problem with all of these, depending on how you draw the T's, there's also another one, and there's another T11A, which I put in last week, and you can you can get another T on it. But it is true that the one major conclusion you have is you're in a high risk zone here, and the market looks beginning to look like it's frisky and it wants to do something, but that doesn't alter the big picture that it's a high-risk proposition. So, excuse me, one of the conclusions you have is, what do you want to do in a high-risk zone? And the answer to that one is, which I talked about on Wednesday's T-Theory Foundation update, is that you don't want to play fool around with the game with a high risk when there's an easy game to play over in another area, if you can find that. You always go away from the high-risk zone, and you go to the low-risk, high-profitability zone. Extending the case of when we go to the short-term picture, and we go to see some short-range T's and so forth that are going to appear as we go, into the end of the year and so forth. you're going to be dealing with T's that are very small. And so because these are small cash buildup phases, they represent small opportunities. And so you have the big opportunity from the cash buildup phase that was four and a half years, for the left side of Trilogy 12. Then you come down to one-third of that, which is about 17 months for the bottoms out, and you finally get down to these little things in the bottoms out. There's nothing that's going on in that short-term picture that's going to make you rich or anything like that. And because it is a high-risk zone, it's going to have, problems in that it's going to have tendencies to want to look bullish and then fade out into bearishness, and you know it's coming, right? So you really don't want to get involved in too many stories about something big is going to happen in the short range chart, although it's possible, because it's not really built into the cards, and there's an opposition to it. I'll expand on this one, because when we go to the 40-year cycle is the dominant, and that's discussed in the archives, cycle. And because the cash buildup phase is usually about half the cycle, which is 20 years, those turn out to be the giant opportunities. And then the second poise of the discussion is that if you want to make a lot of money, you always the big profits if you want to get rich, you have to get onto a 40-year cycle, because it's the only thing that has the big opportunity in it. And you just have to find it. It's buried in a long-term trend someplace, but it's not in the stock market, in the equity market. So the arguments that we do later on is that the first priority that you have is you want to go find out what the 40-year cycle is saying, and then move over to the part where you have this big opportunity and try to get lucky in finding a way to make money out of the big opportunity, or the gigantic opportunity, is one that's as big as you can get, and not pay too much attention to this stuff. Now let's go to the short-term chart, recognizing the fact that if you're dealing with short-term trends, so we're not talking about the greatest, most momentous effects on your portfolio or your trading strategies. Remember that there's a 5-day arms warning. We talked about that in the past, where you have low numbers in the arms ratio. And if you look at the arms ratio now, which is second column from the left, you see it on the third, which is the first day in the chart there, it was 0.035. That's a very low, very overbought number. 1.97 is a solid bottom type number for the full 1-day reading. Then you go to 0.83, 0.75, 0.82. On Friday. Well, if you go back to my Wednesday post, you can pick up the 3 days that are before the 3rd of September, and those are 0.83, 0.25, and 0.49. So if you say, well, there's nothing sacred about a 5-day average on the arms ratio and getting that number to go low to warn you that you're coming into a top, because in the old days they used to use a 10-day average. So, but if you wanted to make it an 8-day average, you're going to come up with numbers that are 0.83, 0.25, 0.49, 0.35, 1.97, 0.83, 0.75, 0.82. You average that all together, that's a top pattern. Okay, that's an arms warning is there. So, and also you have the two T's here. I mentioned the last in my Wednesday update, you shouldn't draw a T on the for that localized bottom in there, but apparently it does seem to be going up there, and possibly he was right and I was wrong about making that statement, but it is true nevertheless that you are in some kind of a top zone that's there, and it's not a fabrication, because the arms ratio over the last 8 days is saying that there's a potential for a selling climax to a profit zone. The distinguishing factor in here is if you look at the volume oscillator, each day is revealed as a dot. And so you can see that the last 3 days, what happened is that the volume oscillator shot up to with the green descending tops line. It was eventually going to make some kind of a cash buildup phase at a later date. And then you had a drop down, and it's just kind of creeping up, but it doesn't look like it wants to get up to the overbought level. That is another sign that you're going to have a selling climax, and it's coming to you. So, as we end the week here, and that this is what it is that there's something that's got this market hung up in a place where it wants to have a selling climax, and I would expect that you'd see it next week sometime. So, you don't get carried away with everybody's talking bullish news. On the other hand, the market does seem as though it wants to. It's been making too many lows down here, because you see the last low is the same as the February early February low, and it's the May low, and it's close to the July low, and I mean, when you keep making these lows, that the market wants to go up. So one of the things you can do is to remember one of Marty Schwartz's observations, which he told me, which I had never noticed. And that is that if your market wants to go up, but it's overbought, and it's got to do something, but it really wants to go up, what'll happen is you'll get a sharp correction over short, 4 or 5 days, something like that, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, something like that, and the blue volume oscillator will go back and it will find a bottom at the zero line. And if it sits there at the zero line, that's sort of like an entry point. If you believe it wants to go up, that's the entry point. Okay, so if you get a sharp decline and that volume oscillator settles on the zero line, that's probably the best thing I could say, that is that there's an entry point for something that's going to go up. And I would assume that the market, if it wants to go up, it's going to go up to the red upper channel. If you look at the envelopes and the channels, you notice that the market likes to come up, and it never really gets through it. It just kind of churns if it's going to get there. That's a possible outcome that you would have if you believe that's true. One of the interesting other topics that I just want to throw in here, we had previously talked about Charles Nenner, who is a self-proclaimed cycle expert, and I don't happen to have television, so I don't know, but I can see things on the internet, you know, where he's talking about things. People send me letters, send me updates on what people are talking about in the stock market, so I usually know what they're talking about. But anyway, he kept going around saying, the last I heard was that there's a big top in the late August time period. Okay. So what you got is I don't believe he's made any changes on that, because he's calling for the Dow to go down on an August 24th video clip is to go down to 5,000 in the near future. Well, when we get to the next section, I can show you how you can get under 5,000, but you can use Professor Robert Shiller's, who's a perfectly sane person, and call the top in 2000 and call the housing bubble correctly on fundamental grounds, using what he calls is the 10-year price earnings ratio, which I happen to be loading into my 40-year cycle program, and I spent all last week loading it in. And so when we're going to talk about that, you don't have to believe in the cycles that you're going to go down there in a couple of years. You're going to go down to under 5,000, and I'll talk about that later on. But he's supposed to speak, he is representing himself as one of the great cycle experts of our time. So, if he says there's a top up there, and I don't hear from anybody that he's talking about it, why isn't there a top here? He could be wrong. That's what the story is. But when you defer this to when you get it caught in the ambiguity, it's important to, the final arbitrator of this is the envelopes, which you can do with Keltner bands if you want to. But the idea is that the market can go up and down in the inside of a channel, but if the channel is pointing, the channel is actually descending now from the April top. If that doesn't change, the fact that the market's going up and down inside the channels is interesting, but they're very small changes. And if you can't do something that's more dramatic than that, it's entirely possible that the top of T13 is a high-risk zone, and what you're going to do is just going to walk off the T. You'll probably go back to the you probably have to go back and maybe take out the June high or something like that, but you're not going back to the April high. And that's one of the conclusions you reach for the standpoint that if you can't, if you've got going through this buzz. So, for example, if you have a sharp decline, what has been happening in the past is the arms ratio goes up to like 5, 6, something like that, and you have the Dow is down 200 to 300 points, and you have that, and it blows away, and then it comes back. It's entirely possible that you're going back up and you're going up there. But that kind of erratic nature is it's good for a rebound, but I don't know that it's necessarily going to turn the channel up. So you have to be somewhat skeptical that. First of all, I'd say it's very probable it's going to have the selling climax, but if you go to the zero line, I'd say it's probably going to come back up, and you're probably going to kind of move closer to the upper red channel, and that would be an entry point if you do it. If it goes below the zero line, then you got a problem with the stock market, because then you have a case where you are not fulfilling what Schwartz says was, if it's planning to go up, it'll stop on the zero line. Well, if it goes below the zero line, it's probably not planning to go up in a meaningful way. Maybe it's not going to go. Maybe it's not going to go above its previous high, which would be the high at the early August time period, you know, which is halfway between the black line and the red line. So that's all I can say about it. And I think, you know, Wednesday we do another update on the T Fidelity Foundation. And the only thing you want to watch on the volume oscillator is if these dots keep don't blast off on the upside, which the small advanced decline T says isn't likely, or the other T, then you should see the selling climax. As soon as you see the selling climax, once you if you see a 200 or 300 point down day, and then the next day it can't carry through on the downside, that's more or less what holding the zero line looks like in plain ordinary terms. Okay, if you get two bad days you get a very bad day, and then you get another bad day after it. That's the one that went below the zero line. So that's what they look like anyway. So that we'll just wind up that part and say, be tuned in. We'll see what's going to go on. But it is interesting because you have these various forecasts. You've got a forecast that market looks like it's going up, and you've got somebody going around saying that late August is a high, and to my knowledge hasn't changed that. And if late August is an important high, you can't go back to the April high. That would be the conclusion you'd reach. Okay, so we'll wind this section down here, and then we're going to start the rest of the charts all in one go. Bye bye.